Welcome back, everyone, to Thunderdome Metal Review, your church of heavy metal, where we nominally talk about metal albums. That's what we're here for tonight. I am Ben. With me, as always, are David, Gabe, and Tracy. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
I mean, cartels, witchcrafts, and decapitations. It's all the food groups, man. It's all there.
They're my favorite.
It's witchery, man. It's back.
Witchery. It's something.
It definitely is that. So yes, we are going to be talking about my pick for an album released in September of 2023 with Eso Es Brujería, the fifth studio album by Brujería. This will be a lovely precursor since we're getting ready to do a discography blast of this band. So we will have officially done their entire, at least, album discography. not all their singles, because there are a billion of those. Mm-hmm. This came out on Nuclear Blast. Had a runtime of 53 minutes and 42 seconds. Somehow I keep picking the longest fucking albums. I'm not sure exactly how that happened.
Worried you got body snatched.
me and Ben spot bodies for this week because I came in with the shortest.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing. This band is Fantasma on vocals, Hongo on bass, Pinche Peach on vocals, Juan Brujo on vocals lead, Sangron on vocals, El Criminal on guitars, Hongo Jr. on drums, El Cinico on bass, and La Encabranda on vocals female. And, you know, if you know the story of Brujería, you know that it is a project that has artists from several different bands, and there's been several lineup changes. These are all stage names because the conceit, which we will probably discuss more in the discovery blast than we will hear, is that these guys were all drug dealers and narco terrorists who decided to make extreme metal album back in like 1989, which is not what was really happening, but that was like the story of the band, much as Guar has a story. This was engineered by Eddie Casillas and Miguel Seco, and Sebastian Huenta did the mixing.
Do we know who actually is in the band for this one? Because I know,
I
mean, like,
I can tell you if you want.
I'd like to know. Actually, like, no.
Okay, well, then we will go through this. Fantasma is a Pat Hode, who was a DJ in Los Angeles and also did some color commentary work, which is what I know him from for Extreme Pro Wrestling. That's Larry Rivera. Let's see. Hongo is Shane Embry, who is the bassist for Lock Up and Napalm Death. Pinche Peach is Ciroco Quesada, who has only been in Brujería. Juan Brujo was John David Lepe, and he's primarily only been the vocalist for Brujería. Sangron is Henry Sanchez, who is also in a band called Sangre. El Criminal is Anton Reisenegger, who's in Criminal, which is an incredibly long-lived band. Hongo Jr. is Nicholas Barker. He's been in several different bands as well. Just a cradle of filth. Most famously as a drummer in that band. That brings us to El Cinico, who is Jeff Walker. He's in Carcass, as the bassist and vocalist for Carcass. And that leaves who? That leaves La Encabranda, who is Jessica Pimentel, who is the vocalist and guitarist for Alkaline's Gun.
Okay. Demystify it a little bit.
They've been around the block a few times, even the people who haven't been in the band for a super long time.
I was a founding member.
Yeah, like I from.
Do I know who was the founding member?
It feels like it's a very much a. Like you said, like it's a stage show similar to Guar, which is just continuously turn. You might have like, it seems like Larry Rivera is probably the mainstay in it for the most part, right? And then you kind of have like a churn of people around him depending on album release. So,
and Juan Brujo is really the main guy.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Their sound has been remarkably consistent, as we will see when we do Raza Odita and all those other albums. Riffs on theme.
But anyway, we interrupted you, Tracy. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, it's one of those, you know, presentations and music kind of style things, like, you'll get from it. And it's pretty neat to see this going on. And this was my first, like, full-on introduction to them. I'd heard a single they released in 2020, but outside of that, I haven't.
Which one was it that you heard? Was it the Trump one, or was it COVID-666?
It was the Trump one. Oh, it was okay. Damn sure the Trump one. I was like, I didn't know, couldn't remember which one for sure, but it was the American Czar.
Mm-hmm. I will go so far as to say that these guys have a stage show at Guar, because I'm pretty sure that they don't. But yeah, as far as like a backstory, that they have created a narrative around the band similar to the way Guar.
They drag some up a stage and execute them gang style, cartel style. That's the show.
So, Ben, were you listening to this stuff already back in the mid-90s?
A little bit. I mean, this was one of those bands that I always heard about, but it was really hard to find the stuff in West Kentucky. So, you know, but like the entire concept of it, it was super cool. I mean, it's this whole... the allure of extreme violence, playing into the negative stereotypes of particularly Mexican Americans or Mexican immigrants into the country that they really just kind of took and ran with. It reminds me a lot, not musically, but concept wise, of like that weird blending of horror and gangster rap that happened in the mid 90s.
Horrorcore.
Yeah. Exactly that.
That's the genre. No, it's a thing.
No, that is. Yeah, that is. I've forgotten the name of it, but it is, in fact, horrorcore. Yeah. With Gravediggers and a bunch of other people. And so, yeah, this is a pretty easy sell for me. I mean, you know, there is a linguistic barrier. I'm more familiar with Spanish than some of the other foreign language stuff that we've done here. No other reason than I'm an American, and it is an unofficial second language. So.
So I bought both Matando Güiros and Raza Odiata in the store. I think I read that Dino was in it in a metal magazine back when that was a thing. I was like, that's all I need. I read Mexican murder magazines. So, yeah, I had those first two albums. I listened to the shit, especially out of Raza, out of that second album.
Yeah.
But I kind of fell, I just... kind of forgot it was a thing. I don't know. I missed the two albums after that one.
Dude, they went into hiatus for a long time. I mean, this was their first album in 7 years. So, granted, they had been around as a band for over 30 years, but a lot of that, because, I mean, it was a side project, much in the way that Nailbomb was a side project. And it was just like they'd get together every now and again, I guess, when they were all in LA, record an album, half-assed tour on it, and then they'd be back off in their real bands.
Just the cover on Matando Güiros, which people were not pleased about, by the way. I mean, now
they were not.
That was 93, man.
Yeah, which is invoked on this album cover, which I appreciated.
100%.
What is that?
It was on stage. Like, what's Coco Loco is the name of the head. I mean, it's like part of the stage show.
Yeah, it's kind of become their symbol, their mascot.
So that's not actual picture. Okay.
Yeah, dude. It's a drug market.
Well,
it's just a Tuesday.
Well, this album cover is just that image like superimposed on something. Yes. But like the discography blast, that is actual like
100%
photo from a crime scene.
Oh, the Montana where? Okay, that's what I was asking because I pulled it up to look it up.
No, pull up the first one. You're in for a treat.
And it's the one where he's holding a head and he's just like half of it's burnt off and just.
Yeah, it's just a Tuesday in Juarez, but you know, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
I mean, I don't think we as Americans get to judge them for extreme violence. Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the thing. We and they we have a lot in common, as much as we pretend we don't like the Poles and the Germans. Assert whatever you want. But so, as you say, it's the unofficial second language. LA is the second biggest Mexican city on earth. after Mexico City.
Let's talk about that though too, because we brought up the connection between horror and hip hop, but also there's a very, very, very deep connection between metal and like slasher films. 100%. And this reminded me of a lot, even though it's not the same thing, but it reminded me a lot of, what the heck is it called? Mortician. Which I actually, I don't like for similar reasons. You know, I'm not sort of like all in for brutal death metal anyway, but I think that the problem with this and the problem with that is that they're kind of just samey. They don't really have a lot of variation in their sound. I mean, I appreciate what they're doing, and I think it's cool to also get that political angle on it, which you do get a little bit on this album. There's, you know, a song about Putin on there, and you know, a song about COVID, which, like it or not, is also political. And at the same time, though, it comes across like GWAR in a certain way, because it comes across as kind of jokey at times, because it's like playing up this like gangster lifestyle and, you know, glorifying it, but making fun of it at the same time. And that's not, I'm not saying that as someone who speaks Spanish well enough to understand every word on here, but like I looked up some of the lyrics and kind of tried to follow along where I could. And I think the most sort of samey part of this is the vocals. And I know that David, you care about vocals. And I know that you, Ben, care about vocals. I don't care about vocals, and it just kind of bothered me because it sounds like speaking, you know, to me, which, you know, it can be used to great effect, but it just, I don't know. It was a little bit repetitive for me.
That and the drums for me were the two most repetitive things, because I feel like the drum is very blast beaty, and then it's just the vocals are what you get, and it's just like, okay. And that differs very little throughout the entire album. Which I'm sure for David, he's like, sold.
Sold. Well, no, I you know how I am about brand loyalty. And, you know, we have deep dived before on, because another thing this overlaps with is the whole genre of narco corrido, that sort of like country music focused on like drug murders, which is a whole thing that features fairly prominently. There's like a fake video in Breaking Bad that's one of those things. And itself comes from, there's a broader sort of genre called corrido that was like originally like Mexican Revolution songs and shit, and then it like mutated into talking about gangsters. So there's all kinds of, as with any genre, sort of these deep roots that go back to the early 20th century, which is, you know, there's this weird dissonance as an American, because they're like, oh, they're singing about decapitation, and it sounds like a polka, right? It has that like, ooh, 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 ooh. So, and there's a bit of that here. I think there's actually almost more in the older albums, where suddenly mariachi's happening as they're murdering you. But I do love, as you know, Gabe and a couple of you said, just the way they play with those stereotypes. Because of course, you know, when this band first came out, it was during Proposition 187 and Pete Wilson's Reign of Terror in California. I mean, there was a very specific, virulently anti-Mexican discourse in the early 90s that they were pushing back against. So from moment one, they've been virulently political.
Yeah.
And sort of lampooning, as you say, there's like these layers of irony and sort of mockery, but also adoption. So there's a lot happening here.
Yeah. And, you know, since this is really the first time we're touching on it, we'll go ahead and speak of it here. But like one of the reasons that they did this concept, aside from what David just touched on, is there were so many Latino kids going to their extreme metal shows who didn't speak English, but were singing along to the songs. So they decided to do what they were doing that was hooking those kids, but in Spanish language, so that it would be more authentic for them to touch base with, which, you know, I think is super cool. It doesn't really have a touchstone to me as not a Spanish speaker. Juan Brujo does have a very distinct voice, but you know, and coming out of like punk, like I do with like Henry Rollins or some of the other vocalists in Black Flag, the guy from the Circle Jerks, Keith Morris, I think it is. That doesn't bother me as much as it does Gabe. I know Gabe hates talk singing. It doesn't really
bother me. I mean, I feel like you can do it well. I don't think this is talk singing. It's really more like talking or yelling.
Yeah. It is very much like yelling.
And you know what? I think that you can make it work if it's not the only thing you do.
Yeah.
as well. Yeah. Because one of the reasons that talk singing is a thing is because singing is usually one thing and talking is usually the other. You don't usually mix them in everyday life.
It's more efficient. It's like
it. Amazing. It certainly is more efficient, but like, you know, I don't know. There is a time and a place. And yeah. I think that, you know, this is obviously not what they're not focusing on that in particular anyway. And I really appreciate hearing about, you know, not only the sort of like more overt, like political aims. I think that it's really important that they're, you know, addressing a Spanish speaking audience with it specifically and just trying to pull them in where, you know, Anglophone like metal is dominant the world over, and that certainly doesn't hurt to have something that is resisting it, that dominance.
And I don't think it's a coincidence it's the diaspora in the US.
Yeah,
right, like this isn't coming from Mexico per se. This is their assertion of their identity, exactly as Ben said. They were like completely left out of everything, and the place they were living was taking a giant shit on them when this thing was founded, and here's the result.
Well, I mean, and maybe it's because I know all that shit, but it feels very LA and very Mexican American to me.
Hell yes, it does. This is LA as fuck. I bought that first album in LA.
Nice.
From a dude selling it out of his car. Hey, man.
Who then shot himself? just for looking at him funny. Worth it.
To Tracy, your point on the drums, it's funny you say that because of the four albums that we did for this week, I think this had the second best drums on it.
I think that makes sense. No, they're good. I love this guy.
Yeah.
Way more than I love Cradle of Filth.
I feel Tracy's pain a little bit too. I mean, I think that while the drummer is good, the songs are not very varied. Like there are like different drum patterns, but it's like it's rare and few and far between where they actually change up all that much. And again, that may not be what they're trying to do with this band. They're not trying to stretch out and necessarily do the most amazing, technically brilliant things. But it makes for a different listening experience.
Yeah. And like, it sounds like this band was just meant to be pissed off. And that's exactly what they're doing here.
Yeah.
And it's
accurate.
Some of the sounds in there are just annoying. Like they're just annoying in there. And it's like, yeah, it gets your attention for sure. It gets you riled up.
Yeah. And I think part of it is also the new heads to this band are kind of, I don't know, but the people who've been like with this band for a while, like, it's awesome. And so like,
yeah.
This guy.
It is a bit of fan service here. I mean, they are like making music for their fans. And it's kind of funny to hear you say that because I've already listened to like the other ones, you know, and kind of pre-prepping for the blast. And there's a lot more variation in the sound on this one than I think on some of the other ones.
But I know. That's why I was like, this one's, there's some stuff going on here. Some of those earlier ones, they just punch you in the throat and walk off.
Yeah. But this one is also twice as long as some of those too. So I think that you run into that, and I'll be the one to fall on that. This is way too long. This should have been like half as long as it was.
Thank you.
Like, this might have been more tolerable if it came in at like a 35 minutes instead of 54. Like, well, 20 minutes off of it, just...
Dude, it's like, I mean, you know, I will say Cannibal Corpse because I know we're reviewing Cannibal Corpse, but this is two Cannibal Corpse albums. Yeah. And this could have been two Brujeria albums.
I mean, they're living the Vida Loco, man. I don't know.
That's true.
They do not feel pain. They cannot be reasoned with. They didn't do a thing for 7 years. So I don't know if they had like accumulated material. I thought about this.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is kind of long for a Brujeria album. But
there's a gap of like 15 years or 16 years between the album in 2000 and 2016.
Oh, yeah, almost none of the band is the same. I mean, again, because it's just like who's in town and who can do the thing.
It's like sending out a flare, smoke signal, flare gun. Like, who's in? Shit, it's just me. All right, I got this.
I'm just a sucker, not only because I was an early adopter, but I just eat this whole fucking aesthetic up.
I do too. Me too.
I agree very much in you and my wheelhouse, Ben.
Yeah. I mean, it probably says something very bad psychologically about me that I'm like, oh, okay, this is referencing real world horror. I can get into that more than I can the bullshit that like really spooky bands are talking about.
100%. I'm like, this is a real thing. This happened yesterday.
Yeah.
To me. Anyway. So it's not for everyone, though. I'm not going to lie. I'm seeing Dave's face and Tracy's face right now. They're like, if only we're not doing video anymore. But if you could see it, it is a game. So it's a mixture of contempt, amusement, ennui, I would say.
It's
the shorter and vary the drum lines. They're not going to. They're not going to.
No, they're not.
No fucks given.
Yeah, no, this is a smile and tap, everything turned to 11 kind of band, for sure.
100%. Oh, man, I can't wait for the blast. Gabe just, like, leaves the podcast. He goes on a leave of absence for 1 week and then returns. Sorry, guys, I had a thing. I had a terminal illness for a week, but then I cured it, and so now I'm back.
Yep.
I got to go return some videos. See ya.
I need to rewind them first.
I forgot to rewind them, right?
And yeah. So they're,
fine. But dude, you got a DVD. Got to rewind it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Be kind. Please rewind. No, man. Are we at tracks yet? I don't know.
I think we might be. Yeah.
I think we are.
You too.
Do me and Gabe need to say our tracks? Well, or before Ben and David say all of them, or?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna get knock yourself out.
For me, the old Mexorcista and GAK were both hard with the chew. I was like, okay. But a lot of this, it's like you heard one, you heard the rest, and you're and you just go along for the ride on it. Kind of like, all right, I guess I'm going. It's like being drugged by a car.
Yeah, I also dug Mexorcista, and I think that the album starts there. They could just cut off the first six songs already. It would be fine. I also enjoyed Bestia de la Muerte and Políticamente Correctos because it's got an interesting rhythm, like for once. It's like nine tracks in, and finally there's something interesting going on there. And there's some funny moments on the back half, I would say, like Perdido en el Espacio, and like among the annoying tracks that are like okay. Like Machado has this really stupid, annoying sample, but like you have to listen to it somehow. And that's it.
All right. So I don't necessarily think all these songs are great, but I would say Take the Ride. This is an incredibly long album to say that on, but I will agree that I think that starting at Mexorcista, that from there on, I really do like the album and I do enjoy the back half quite a bit. And also, like, they have a cover on every one of their albums, and to do a cover of Cocaine the way they did it as the closer, I was like, hell yeah. So yeah, I mean, this is one of those times where I'm firmly in the brand loyalty category with David.
Yeah, though I will concede, I think it picks up sort of in the middle on. I'd probably put that a little earlier, probably Tu Vida Loca. The beginning's fine, but yeah, I think it really picks up in the sort of a third of the way in onward. My favorite songs were probably, and I apologize if they're out of order, this is the order they came on the playlist. Tu Vida Loca, as I said, COVID-666, I think Cocaína is amazing. Estado Profundo, I liked. Políticamente Correctos, and then what is it? Odio Que Amo are probably my favorite ones. And that's sort of the later part of the album, but I mean, ultimately, this is an album I would advise you to either take the ride or don't.
For sure.
Right. This is not for this. It may not be for you. And if it isn't, that's fine. But if it is, you know, strap yourself in and, you know, pour one out for Zapata and get it done.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure that this is the album to try and bring new fans in on.
It's not. It's too long. It's too referential to some of the earlier shit. You know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think Raza Odiata would probably be, that would be probably the one I would bring people in on.
That's fair, yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
You will know more in December.
Me and Maeve got introduced to these on this one.
Surprise! Murder!
Muerte!
And then we all got decapitated. It's not personal.
And then we did, yes.
All right. Great, gentlemen.
I mean, I'm going to give this a B+. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It's like, it doesn't take itself too seriously, despite the fact that it's talking about incredibly serious topics. But it is too long. And, you know, my there is, again, like I said, the language barrier doesn't really bother me that much, but there is some stuff where I'm like, I'm going to have to look up and see exactly what that was, as opposed to just really being able to immerse myself into it.
For the shock of no one in any time zone anywhere, I too am going to give this a B+. For all those reasons, you know, I was an early adopter. I eat this shit up. My Spanish is okay. It is harder for me than German or French or whatever, but no, I fucking love this stuff. B+.
I'm going to come in next. I'm going to get this a C. Not the biggest fan of it. Like, I'm not going to shoot it in the street, but...
It'll shoot it for, you, dude.
Take it for what it is. But I am not the biggest fan. I'm hardcore fans only.
That's fair.
Hardcore fans only a C+, by the way.
I think so, I thought that. Move to a C.
C is, you know, worse. but you can grade it whatever you want to grade it. It may indeed be for ultimate fans, but I'm actually going to go give this a B- because, and put that right at an 80, because I do like a couple of songs on this. It's not bad, but I don't think it's very good. And part of it is the length, part of it is the repetitiveness. But I see what they're doing, and I definitely like this better than I liked listening to their first album, which I spun, I think, once already. I was just like,
long march.
What? You want me to do what now?
I can't wait. Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. What is it? It's in December.
Yeah, Merry Christmas indeed. Or should I say Feliz Navidad?
Oh shit. I am guessing that two of us would buy it and two would not. That's just a guess. I'm gonna go out on a limb here.
That seems to track, yeah.
Their names rhyme with Benjamin and Javid, and then JC and Jabriel will not be purchasing this. Except maybe to burn it to take their power away. Some sort of exorcism type situation.
A exorcist.
A exorcism. Oh shit.
What was the aggregate grade, Tracy?
Aggregate grade was an 83, so a B-. I mean,
that's solid. That's a B, dude.
Yeah.
That's the lowest B. Tracy, you always do this. I feel like we need to send you to grade school. 83 is the lowest B.
It's that A Kentucky education I got.
It's the Murray State half grade.
Hell yes. Speaking of half grades, which is not a good segue, what are we doing next, Tracy?
Next, we are doing Cannibal Corpse's new album, Chaos Horrific. We'll see how this holds up.
Indeed, more fan service, more corpses.
It probably won't hold up, but we'll see.
Just another
oh, no.
Slab of Floridian death coming our way.
Courtesy of Dave. Who else would do this?
You're welcome.
next up on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
El Bacal.